Now, how do you guys feel about these influence measuring services that are floating around these days, like Clout and Cred? Do you feel that they're on target with influence, or is it difficult to measure real influence?
I can say that I have not interacted with any of them.
No.
And I don't know why. I don't care to know what my clout score is. I've been asked on many different occasions to join.
Okay.
And actually had conversations of, hey, I bet your clout score is really high. What is it? And I have no idea. I never gave in.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. When it first came out, and I was in a couple client meetings, that was one of the first things they asked me, actually. Mm-hmm. I was talking about social media. They're like, oh, what's the clout score? Because it was trending and new.
But some of those things can be gamed.
Exactly. And analytics are just a tool, and you have to apply meaning to those analytics.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just analytics, there's not a whole lot to it. If you can attach some type of business model to that, which obviously Clout is trying to do, Cred is... I mean, the way Clout works is they're trying to funnel things over into perks and, bring in advertisers. Cred is part of People Browser over in the UK, and they're trying to essentially use that as a vehicle or a medium to, funnel people over to their business, which is
okay. Really
hardline analytics. Andrew Grill does a good job over at Cred. Joe Fernandez over at Clout. They're both fantastic. It comes down to, all right, you've established the medium. Now, what are you going to do to make sure people want to consistently engage with it and
Right. Will,
better people's lives?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know my score just because it doesn't change. It hasn't changed in like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
It stays there, and it's there, and it's fine. And unless somebody asks me, it never really crosses my
right.
life.
Well, I know, like you were mentioning, perks are offered if you have a certain score, and then there was a club in L.A. instead of paying the $100 cover if your score is, I think, above 60, they'll invite you in. But obviously the angle is they want you to come in. They want you to talk about their club and get other people to come in.
Yeah, everybody's going to try and find a way to utilize influence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ford, when they launched the Fiesta a few years ago, they gave 50 cars away to influential bloggers. I think 50 is the right number. It might have been 100. And then had people talk about it, and it was successful for them. Crystal Wortham over in their brand integration department is fantastic at just finding little ways to use influencers to get things across. But with Clout and Cred, I want to see something that integrates it more into your daily experience. I'm blanking on the name of, I think it's Ad Shoppers is what I think it's called, but I might be wrong.
Okay.
There's somebody that's integrated one of those, so you've got your share on Twitter, Facebook, all those little buttons that pop in below your article.
Mm-hmm.
What they wanted to do is they are integrating it into retail so that if you're influential, you can click on this little button and it will give you 4, 5, 8% off depending on your level of influence.
Okay.
Of that product for your ability to go out there and talk about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a possibility. I think there's other things that pop up that there is a possibility to use what Cred and Clout provide for a tremendous amount of good and a tremendous amount of commercial success.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's just there.
Sure, sure. James, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I was just going to say that basically Clout, it pulls off of your social media usage, so there really isn't a use for it. So that's why when they throw these perks and stuff in there and all that stuff, then it's kind of an incentive to use it. Whereas most people that go on Clout or Cred or any of these other social analytics sites, they're not really reading into the metrics too much. I don't know if you guys actually look at the numbers and everything, but I don't usually. I'm there for the perks, and that's about it.
Sure, sure.
If I want to look at numbers, I'll use commune.it. They're an Israeli firm, and they've got a nice little product that it's really simple. You just sign up for free, and it tells you, here's all the things, the stats of how many retweets, specifically for Twitter, but how many retweets mentions all these things, your most commonly shared statuses, the best times, all these things that, if we work in it, we know, but if you're just kind of casual to it, it's good to look at. But more importantly, too, it's hard to kind of backtrack in Twitter and go, wow, I talked to somebody 2 months ago. To go through my timeline and find them would be terrible. So they have this really good searchable function to find everybody you've talked to. And so it's kind of like CRM for Twitter.
Okay. And
you kind of approach it almost
how like how do folks find that site?
It's commune.it. So it's C-O-M-M-U-N.it.
Okay. Okay.
I would say, though, too, speaking on behalf of someone who runs a business page rather than just a personal profile, they have that stuff built right into to things like Facebook now.
Right.
I mean, the graph is right there in front of you. As soon as you scroll down, you see your stats.
Right.
And then, I mean, even going on the complete opposite end, I run a personal blog, and even going in the dashboard on the back end and being able to see how many views you got, where your links got clicked in from, that stuff already is in place with the majority of social media sites, even without a cloud score.
Right, right.
I've got one more point on that.
Sure, James.
So a lot of the things that are coming out right now, I know Credly, cred.ly, the cred score, is they just came out with a Facebook story builder. So it basically takes your posts that you've built or that you've done over the past few years and puts them together. And then also Wolfram Alpha has just released a Facebook, I forget what they call it, but it's a...
It analyzes your page, your friends, breaks it down.
Yeah, I think that provides a lot more value and concrete numbers and, and stuff. And it gives you sort of a story rather than just a score.
Right.
I find those to be more interesting and more. So.
Now, you guys are all in your 20s. A few weeks back, there was a popular piece written by Catherine Sloan posing the question, should all social media managers be under 25? Does that your generation best understand social media? What are your thoughts and feelings on that? I know she got slammed a little bit by folks like Peter Shankman.
I would say that I don't think it's necessarily an age thing, but I would go as far as to say that we were raised with it. You know, we were the first users. We were the first adapters. We've been through all the phases of things like Facebook, you know, that seeing the timeline change. And I wouldn't say that because of our age we understand it better, but as long as you were there from the beginning and you understand how it works, I don't see any problem with age.
Right. I think all generations bring great things to the table. I mean, there's a certain understanding, you know, from somebody who's in their 20s, and there's a certain understanding from somebody who's maybe in their 40s or their 50s, and I think that there's, you know, a good middle ground on that.
Yeah, I think it comes more down to experience, just like anything. You're not going to hire someone based on their age, per se. You're going to, you know, base it on experience, and usually you're not going to hire somebody in their younger 20s because they don't have the experience. In this case, sometimes, not always, but sometimes people do have more experience in this field. Also, generally, because of the factors involved, you're going to see companies, and this is starting to shift, obviously, but you've seen companies kind of dip their toe in the water, and so if they're going to hire somebody, they're going to hire somebody fresh out of college that is going to cost a little bit less, and that they can kind of see where it goes.
Right.
You know, but you've got some big companies like McDonald's and Ford that have really, really talented people.
Like, yeah, like Scott Monty.
Scott Monty at Ford is tremendous. You know, he's not in his 20s, but he's he knows his stuff. And so, yeah, age is just a number. It really comes down to, you know, what your experience level is. Are you right for the voice for that company? I think that is really important.
I think that is important
to bring
up.
There are some people that if you want a social media for an accounting firm, you're going to want somebody that they don't need to know accounting, but it kind of matches up that ideal.
Right.
If you want somebody that's doing the social media for a photo blog that I go to all the time called The Chive, you're going to need somebody that is just borderline ridiculous.
Right.
And so you just need to have the right fit, the right match, the right voice. It's almost like you're hiring a writer and a spokesperson and a bunch of things all in one.
Sure. James?
Going off of what Jeff said, it's totally a personality thing. It's, you know, you want to hire somebody who has a personality that fits your voice that you're trying to get with your page or your Twitter account or whatever. Age doesn't really matter so much. Maturity level, unless
that's
you're
a great point.
At a place that, you know, you want to have that person be able to respond to the positive and the negative in a mature way and maintain the responsibility that that you are working for a page. It's not just your personal Facebook profile or, excuse me, Twitter account or something like that, that you're working on. So age isn't really too much of a problem. I've seen older people do it. I've seen young people down to, you know, age 15 doing it. So
right.
They do fine. it's, you know, crisis stuff and,
right.
and stuff like that that you need to be worried about.
Right, right. Well, sometimes things can go off the track. I mean, I think there was a Walmart promotion with Pitbull, and that kind of got off track, and they wanted to know where they should send him to what Walmart, and they sent him to Alaska. So well, you got to know how to deal with those things and have fun with them.
Kodiak Island gets a lot of attention.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, I think it's double awesome because, you know, Kodiak Island gets a spotlight on them, which is great for them. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we also get to send Pitbull to Alaska.
Yeah, everybody wins.
Pretty much. It's a win-win.